Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 126. Rise up, he's calling you. Faith principles to receive your miracle. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message via live stream from Fort Wayne, Indiana on April 26th, 2020.
Just blessed to be able to give this word to you today. I think that there's so many treasures for us in the Word of God, and God calls us to be miners, like digging for His treasure, and He wants to reveal to us gold in His Word, because His Word is gold, it's precious to us. And I was doing a study on faith, and it referred to Mark 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus. So I began to read it, and this was maybe a month ago. I don't know the exact date, but it was within this time of stay-at-home restrictions with COVID-19. And I read it once, and the first revelation came. I'm like blind Bartimaeus. I just automatically, my heart just jumped, and I identified with him. And then I read it, you know, two times, three times, and just the ordinary words on the page just jumped out to me, and I began to see the symbolism. I began to just get new understanding, and God was saying to me, "You're like blind Bartimaeus," and I felt like I was a miner digging, had been digging, maybe, you know, reading the Word of God every day, but just came upon this huge discovery of gold, and that's just how much I love it when we get revelation, right? When you get revelation, when you know that the Lord is speaking to your heart. So we're going to dig into His Word today, and I pray that you will find maybe some new treasure, a new precious diamond that I haven't discovered in this word together this morning. So let's read Mark 10, not the whole thing, but this account of blind Bartimaeus starts in verse 46. So we're in Mark 10, verse 46. It goes to up till 52. So let's just read this account together. It says, "Then they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Okay. So let's just pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you are so good, and your word is a treasure to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the tools to dig into your word today. Father, we just ask that you bring new revelation, that you speak to our hearts. Father, we open our hearts wide to receive your exhortation, your correction, your rebuke if needed. Father, we want what you have for us, and we know you have so much for us in your word. So thank you for just bringing that word alive in hearts today. And Father, take my words and use them for your glory, for the extension of your kingdom, for your power, your glory, your honor. We give it all to you, and we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So we're going to just dig right in here. The first thing that I saw was his position. Bartimaeus, he wasn't standing, right? He was sitting. And when we're in a seated position, it's different. You can compare it to standing. And he also wasn't, he wasn't walking along the roadside. He was sitting, it said, along the roadside. And so the road in my mind, automatically, it was like the road. That's like our lives. The road that we walk on is the journey of life, right? With its twists and its turns, its challenges, its moments of rejoicing, moments of celebration, but also moments of trial and maybe difficulty or pain. And when we are walking along that road, we're living our journey, right? Well, what happened with Bartimaeus that he sat down, like he was not moving, not advancing anymore. He was kind of stuck, right? I mean, he was stuck in one position because he chose to sit down at some point. And the word doesn't say, you know, how long he had been sitting there. But I think that's significant. And that right away, that jumped out to me. You know, because sometimes when we're walking along this journey of life, we allow circumstances to dictate our position or our attitude, right? And he made a choice, and he just sat down. The other thing that I saw here as I was writing this all up the other day, I had another revelation of, oh my goodness. Okay, his disability was he was blind, right? He couldn't see. But he maybe, and maybe you can relate to this, became so focused perhaps on that one lack, that one area where he was disabled, that one area that caused him to sit down where he was feeling stuck. And, you know, you want something maybe so badly from the Lord, and you're just going, why, Lord, why? And I want this, and I want this. And you focus, and whatever we look at, whatever we focus on becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And so his, with that one area, that one lack of him not being able to see, it actually affected him in another area. Because I was like thinking, oh my goodness, he had one disability, but he was also acting as if he had two, because he wasn't lame or crippled. He could walk, right? But he wasn't. He allowed that one, looking at that one thing that he was unsatisfied with, that one problem, that one lack, and allowed that to affect or ruin, I'm thinking of a word in Spanish, pudrir, like contaminate, that's, there we go, in English, contaminate him and his view so that he actually was acting or appearing as if he had two disabilities. And maybe you can relate to that, of like, it just begins to affect, it's a ripple effect, and it affects our attitude. And we get into a position of begging from God, where like, why me? And this sort of self-pity. I've been there, and we throw the best big self-pity party. It's not pretty, but let's be honest, church, we do this sometimes, and we say, why me? And why is this happening? And maybe we're not saying that to anybody, but that's kind of our attitude. And like, why God? And why are you allowing this to happen? And it contaminates the way we see things. It contaminates my abilities, right? Blind Bartimaeus had the ability to walk, but he allowed that to affect him in that area so that he just sat down. So now blind Bartimaeus didn't have just one disability. He was actually operating as if he had two. And that was his own doing, right? Like, we cripple ourselves even more by our attitude so many times. Attitude has such a big thing. And I'm thinking the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, preach this to yourself. And I am, just so you know, I am preaching this message to myself today. So Yeah, like, oh, man. So we get stuck and we get in this poor me. Can you relate to this, that you've wanted, you maybe dreamt of something? Can you imagine Bartimaeus dreaming of his sight, of having this miracle, having this sight, being able to see, having vision, physical vision in this case, right? But wondering why it's not happening. And we get into like trying to twist God's arm, right? And it cripples us. And so he was sat down, not advancing on the road of life, and also not seeing, and still with that problem. God doesn't respond to our desperation or a need. He loves us so much, and he wants to meet those needs. But the avenue with which he meets those needs for us is faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to just get these four keys that stood out to me that blind Bartimaeus taught us. And, you know, Santos made a comment the other day when I was talking about blind Bartimaeus of like, well, that guy, or something to the effect of, I don't remember what exactly you said, like some negative thing. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe he didn't start out at the best attitude, like I can relate, and maybe you can relate. But look at the end result. You know, if we just jump ahead, the guy got his miracle, right? And so we can learn some things about him and in his process and what he did to get his miracle. Because I don't know about you, but I want to receive my miracle. And I want to learn about Jesus. I want to learn about his heart and what he is wanting me to understand. What does he want me to get so that I can get my sight or receive my miracle? And it's largely about faith. Okay, so the first key here is, you know, what did he do? What did Bartimaeus do in verse 47? I'm just checking in with my crowd here, with my audience. It's fun to see you all on there. So Mark 10, verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So even though perhaps Bartimaeus wasn't with the best attitude, and he allowed the circumstances to sit him down, he did something that was important. He must have heard about Jesus before, because when he heard that's who it was now that was passing, he began to do something. He began to cry out, right? It says he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he must have had some knowledge of who Jesus was, and he put a voice to it. So that's our first thing. If we have, the Bible says, if we have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, so we can say, we can put a voice to it. We can speak to the mountain. So blind Bartimaeus was putting a voice to what faith he had. From a seated position, yes. But you know what? Sometimes we get snared in life. Sometimes, you know, there's sin in the world. Sometimes you may find yourself with, you know, and maybe some of you are identifying with this, and you're believing for healing. You're believing for restoration in your physical body. And you know, you got snared. A snare is a trap that is set, right? And how many of us are reading several times in this, or many times in this time that we're in, Psalm 91, right? Where it says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. So that snare was a trap. And you know what? We don't need to condemn, you know, there's no condemnation. So you got snared. You got caught in this trap. The important thing is that the Lord says that he will save you from that snare. He will rescue you. He will deliver you out of that snare, right? So back to, you know, what he was doing that showed faith. He cried out. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So crying out to Jesus was his act of faith. It was evidence. It was something that he knew. He had heard about Jesus and, you know, knew that, okay, Jesus can help me. And he latched on to that. So we must involve Jesus in our situation, and not just involve him, but we must put him at the center and cry out to him. Put a voice to the faith that you do have so that you are able to focus on him and the substance of the things hoped for more than the problem or the lack. Okay, so that's key, the first key, number one, cry out to Jesus. Put a voice to your faith. The next thing, it says, and we are in Mark 10, verse 48 now, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love this. Okay, so, you know, you can imagine this scene. He's sitting there on this dusty road. People are walking by. And, you know, the disciples and Jesus are walking by. He can't see them, but he knows, he learns that it's Jesus, and he starts crying out to him. And there's other people around, and they start to tell him to be quiet. And what did he do? He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was like not worried about what the other people thought. He turned up the volume on his cry of faith. And that's what we need to do. Bartimaeus didn't care, didn't have that fear of man. Oh, I'm worried about what they think or how is this going to look to them. No, he showed that persistence of faith, that determination going forward, no matter what opposition. Because, you know, sometimes when we are praying and believing for a miracle and we're going to wait for God to do it, because that's what he's told us to do, we will have opposition. We will have people that won't understand, maybe even family members or people that you love and that love you, but they don't understand why you're just waiting, for it to just fall out of the sky? You know, go make it happen. And that's because that's what the world thinks, right? So there will be opposition. And we know that there's also spiritual opposition. So the voice of the defeated one is going to try to put pressure on you to say, this is ridiculous. You're not worthy of getting a miracle. And what is this about a miracle anyway? This can't happen for you. And so there will be opposition, and we need to learn, just like blind Bartimaeus, to not back down to that pressure, but to rather turn up the volume and say, no, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith. And I think it has a lot to do with that persistence, that determination, and that patience. And the Lord is speaking to me a lot in this time about patience. Because patience, I'm learning, is the power twin to faith. It girds your faith. Because sometimes, you know, we have faith, but we have these short bursts of faith. And Pastor, help me. What was the story of, was Peter walking on the water, right? Where Jesus says, why do you have such little faith? And actually, when you look at that in the Greek, it's not why do you have, it's not talking about the amount of faith. It's talking about like the longevity or the endurance of your faith. And it's actually translated like little bursts of faith. Right? And so we need faith, and then we need that patience, that persistence that undergirds the faith to hold the door open Our faith, or the patience is the one that holds the door open so that our faith can receive the miracle, right? It's like the difference between going fishing and catching fish. Because if I just go fishing, I'm just, okay, at some point, I haven't caught anything, so I'm just, this is silly. I'm not getting anything, so I'm just going to leave. What's the difference between the person that gives up when they're going fishing and the other person that catches fish? The difference is patience. The difference is the time that they invested in it, right? And so that patience is so important for us to stay on the road. We have to stay on the road. Sarah, I'm preaching about it. Stay on the road of patience. It is the power twin of faith, and it's so essential. It's not that you don't have faith, because the Bible says you have faith. You have the measure of faith that God has given you, and we must exercise that. But we need that patience to hold the door open so that we can receive. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive the promise, receive the miracle, okay? So Bartimaeus did that and showed that persistence by taking care of the opposition of just turning it up. Like, I'm not going to cave into this pressure. I'm going to stay the road, stay the course, and I'm going to continue crying out for Jesus because I know he is my answer, okay? And so don't stop believing and don't stop saying your miracle, speaking it out. The word says there is, what does it say? I don't think I wrote this one down. The word is near you. It's nigh you. It's in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth waiting to happen. We have to continue to speak it out, to say it out like blind Bartimaeus. And when there's opposition and other people, you know, there's noise around saying, nah, 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 you know, I don't believe this. This is silly. Nah, nah. Speak it up even more. No, Jesus is bringing my miracle, and I'm holding out in faith with patience for that. In Jesus' name, okay? Oh, I'm getting pumped up here. Okay, so then verse 49, Mark 10, verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. So Bartimaeus' call got Jesus' attention, and it caused him to stop what he was doing. Does your faith get Jesus' attention and cause Jesus to stop what he's doing because he turns and looks at you because he hears your cry of not desperation, but he hears your cry of faith that despite others, naysayers around you, despite opposition, Jesus' attention is drawn to you because of your faith, because you've increased your faith when others are saying things. And that's what I got out of that point of like, is our faith getting his attention and causing Jesus to stop? Because that's the goal. Our faith, not our desperation, not our pity party, but our faith. Because just like Brother Don said in the beginning, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? This is from Hebrews 6, verse 11. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's our faith. It's all about our faith. Okay, key number three is let go of what's old. So verse 50, Mark 10, verse 50, it says, throwing his cloak aside. Right away when I read that, throwing his cloak aside, I thought, a cloak, as if I have an extra garment on, right? He had this on. Santos, will you bring me my sweater there? My garment, please, dear? We're going to get visual. So I have this, right? He had a cloak. He had a cloak that was on, right? You picture this? He's sitting on the dusty road. He's blind. He's also appearing to be crippled, but he's not. But yet he's crying out in faith. He's turned up the volume on the naysayers. And then he gets Jesus' attention. by his faith. And Jesus stops and says, call him. So they say, okay, get up on your feet. He's calling you. And then it says, he throws his cloak aside. The cloak represents like an extra layer, a burden, heaviness, right? Maybe it represents his disability, like his old way, his old life, his old mentality. There's patterns and ways of thinking that aren't healthy that we've adopted because of what's maybe been dealt to us in life or the snares that we've been caught in. And so we have this extra layer, this cloak on us. But I love this, that he, at this point, Bartimaeus was ready to let it go because it says throwing that cloak aside. He just took that off, man. The blindness, the disability, the poor me, the old way of thinking of I'm not worthy maybe of receiving a miracle. Whatever lie that it could be that you've believed that is, perhaps stopping, has some factor in stopping you from getting that miracle because you're not lined up to God's thoughts. You're not lined up to who you are, your identity as a child of God, as one who can inherit the promises that he's given you. So Bartimaeus at this point is ready and he throws it off saying, in other words, that symbolism of I'm ready, God. Like, Jesus, I am ready to run to you without weight, without being bogged down by these old, stinking thinking is going along with that cloak, right? He was showing that he was ready for something new. And sometimes we aren't truly ready to let go of the old or what the old or what it's been, we've grown so accustomed to it. Maybe if you've had a disability or like if I don't know, trying to think of an example, like let's say I'm in a wheelchair or something and that's like my comfort. It becomes what you're used to. It becomes, well, I don't know who I am without, if I don't have my wheelchair anymore because I've had this for so long, whatever example. And we get used to that but that contaminates our thinking. That's part of the heaviness that we need to exactly just throw off because God didn't design you to be in a wheelchair, right? And so we hold on to stuff sometimes. And I think that's why later, skipping ahead just a little bit in verse 51, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Because he's kind of seeing, he's like probing, like he's asking him, are you ready really to let go? Like of your cloak, your old mindset, the illness, the blindness. Like, are you really ready to let that go? Because sometimes we can say that we are and we want a miracle, but we're not willing to get our thinking right and line up our thinking and line up then our speaking with Jesus. And so Jesus asked that question, what do you want me to do for you? Like, are you really ready for the new that I have for you? And that's part of it. That's like kind of some hard truth that we need to face in our heart, and Jesus asked me this, are you ready to let it go so that you can walk into the miracle that I have for you? Because Jesus and the new life and freedom and healing and peace and everything that's wrapped up into the miracle that you are believing and waiting for, make the experience worth it of letting that thing go, right? And so Bartimaeus did just that. He let it go. Thinking of the Disney song, Let It Go. Okay. Number four, the fourth point. What's my time? Okay. All right. Good thing we're on the fourth point. You guys doing okay? Okay. I see a thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Okay. So verse 50, I'm going to just go back. So he threw off his cloak, and then Mark 10, verse 50, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. So now he's free from the weight of his cloak. He's like saying, yes, I'm ready. I've got a new mindset. He jumped up like he's not, he doesn't have this second disability anymore of like, no, hey, I'm not. He's beginning to see like clearer, right? Like, I'm not crippled. Why am I sitting down? And he changes his position just like that. He went from sitting, being stuck, poor me, victim mentality, to standing up, like recognizing that Jesus is calling him and I'm going to engage with Jesus. Because it's so important for when we're, you know, talking about receiving a miracle, Jesus wants you to get it. He wants you to receive the miracle. But sometimes we're in wrong thinking when we think, well, what'll happen? Whatever happens is God's will, or it'll just, you know, if God really wants it, well, he'll just make it happen. But God says, I want you to engage with me. That's what faith is. We need to engage in order to receive. God does the heavy part, but the heavy lifting, the hard part, our part is to jump up and come up to Jesus' level. When he said, when our faith has gotten the attention, like Bartimaeus's did, of Jesus, and he says, okay, you know, rise up. He's calling, you know, I'm calling you, just like the title of this message. Then he engages. You can't get your miracle if you're still sitting down. New thought, new revelation right now. You can't get your miracle if you're just sitting down waiting for it to fall on you. You have to rise up to it. Jesus wants to meet you there, but he says, get on your feet. Get up on your feet. Receive it. Come to me. Like Jesus 100% wants an encounter with you. Everything from the heart of God wants a relationship with you. So more than you even receiving your miracle, he wants to meet with you. And this was the strongest point for me in this whole revelation and God speaking to me is saying, Sarah, stand up. Like, stand up and go meet Jesus face to face. Because we can talk about our problem a lot. We can just make a lot of noise about it. But are we really going to the heart of Jesus? Are we really meeting him, looking at him face to face and having an encounter? Because with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus is calling him to that encounter. He's saying, come on, my son. I want to meet with you. And he couldn't meet with him looking down at him, right? Jesus is in a place of authority and power, and he calls us up to where he is. More symbolism, right? He calls us up. Meet me at the level of faith. You can come up here. I will help you. But come up and receive the miracle by looking first at me. Have a chat with me about it. Encounter me. It's so important, this part. And Bartimaeus, I believe, was ready because he jumped right up to his feet and said, okay, Jesus, like I'm, by meeting him face to face, when he gave him his eyes, I'm ready to receive. In other words, he's saying, right? Let's see. Jesus wanted to talk with Bartimaeus. He wanted to confront maybe some of the old stuff. He wanted to heal his blindness. All of that takes place in the encounter with Jesus. But are we rising up to the encounter? Are we taking the time in the middle of our crisis to stand up and meet him face to face, to lock eyes with Jesus and just sit with him and let him talk to us about it and let him heal our old ways of thinking that have made us stuck and let him just hug us and let him just pour his truth on us. And in all of that process, We get something so precious, so valuable. It's that intimacy with Jesus. And more than anything, brothers and sisters, Jesus is interested in our hearts, in having that encounter with us. He wants to transform our heart, encounter after encounter with us. And so, then he goes to say, like we talked about already, verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus answers and he says, like, he's ready. He's fully ready. He's on his feet. He's looking at Jesus in his eyes. He doesn't have the cloak on anymore. He's in a position of standing up. He's no longer stuck. And he says, Rabbi, I want to see. So then Jesus, verse 52, Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately, just like that, suddenly, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So it was Bartimaeus's faith in Jesus that healed him, right? Because Jesus says, your faith has healed you. So it's not necessarily Jesus, but it's your force of faith. The force of faith that you have is so powerful, and that is what will bring your healing. It's that force. Jesus, yes, he has a part and he does it, but it's you being open. It's you being ready with faith to meet Jesus where he's at, right? And so he says, it's your faith that's healed you. So we have to know, friends, don't doubt that force of faith. You have faith. And if you feel like you're lacking in faith, or the Lord shows you you're lacking in faith, how do we get faith? You go to the Word, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So continue to put that faith in your heart. It's not the trial or the tribulation that makes your faith grow. Trial and tribulation makes patience and perseverance grow. Right? It says that in James 1, 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Right? The testing of your faith produces, it says it right there. It's not the trials and the tribulations themselves that grow faith for you. It's the Word of God. So get that Word of God in you. And then during the trials, that's when your perseverance, your patience will be tested, right? Or is being strengthened, I should say. But it says, furthering there in James 1, 2, I don't know if that's verse 3 or 4 then, where it says, let perseverance finish its work. Like, let the patience, think of the fisherman, let that patience finish its work, the perseverance, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You can be the once blind Bartimaeus that now has sight, and he's not lacking anything, because he allowed his perseverance and his faith to receive that miracle for him. Okay, so Jesus wants to restore you because he loves you and he wants you whole. And we have a job to do, friends. We have an important job to do. We have a mission. And this time, more than any other, is a time where God wants us whole. Because if we are sick or lacking or have a disability or we're stuck and we're sitting on the road, how are we going to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How are we going to do that if we're stuck on the road and we're not even moving and we're acting like we have two disabilities, right? So Jesus wants us to receive from him, receive these principles so that we can learn how to be whole. We can learn to receive, have our faith and patience inherit the promise for us so that we can receive what we need in order to be whole. Whole believers, whole, passionate, set on fire believers for Jesus, so that we can reach others and that we can share them. This is my story. This is how I was able to receive the miracle that I needed. And we can affect and help others receive from Jesus the same, so that we can do a good job of completing this mission he has called us to. And Bartimaeus then, right after he received his miracle, what was the command? Go. Jesus says, go. Like, you're whole now. Go on the road and follow, right? Do what I've called you to do. Be a whole person and affect change, because surely people around him saw, oh, this man was the one that used to once be blind, right? And so it says then he immediately received his sight and he's followed Jesus along the road. So he was no longer stuck, and now he was following Jesus. We are called to go and make disciples, but we're doing that in following Jesus' steps. And so now, if the road is the path of life, now Bartimaeus, no longer blind Bartimaeus, he is now the seeing Bartimaeus, he is now walking, following Jesus on the road. And so that's what we will be able to do when we have received our miracle. We will be able to truly 100% follow Jesus on that path and what he's calling us to. And it's so exciting. So let's just pray to wrap up this little part. Well, actually, I'll just summarize these 4 points, right? The 4 keys. So how did Bartimaeus get his miracle? He cried out to Jesus. He turned up the volume on faith when the opposition came. Like, he put a voice even louder to his, well, that was the first one, right? He put a voice to his faith. And then he turned it up even louder. And then the third key, he let go of the old mindsets, old habits, old hangups, old anything that the Lord shows you. And then he got up and he met Jesus face to face. So don't miss your encounter. That's huge. Don't miss the encounter. Stand up, rise up to where Jesus is calling you, because he wants to meet with you and tell you more so that you can then receive your miracle. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you are so good. And you are so faithful, God. And we just thank you today. We just thank you, Lord. Because you are God of your word. You are a God of yes and amen. You are a God of your promises. And Father, you want us to understand how we can receive those promises, each and every one of them. And so, Father, I just pray today over each of my brothers and sisters listening to this message, either on podcast or connected now through Zoom. Father, that you just give a revelation, Father, of how they can apply these keys like Bartimaeus did, so that we can receive your wholeness. We can receive the promise that maybe we've been crying out to you for years, but somehow we've been missing it. And Father, we don't want to miss it anymore. We don't want to miss the encounter with you. We know that you're calling us, Jesus, and that you call us not only to receive our miracle and be healed and be whole, but you're calling us to follow you on the road. And so we need to receive so that we can continue following you on the road. So I thank you, Jesus, that you would bring revelation to these keys, to each of my brothers and sisters, to help them receive. Father, that you would unlock the obstacle that's standing in the way, in Jesus' mighty name, and that we could all be like Bartimaeus, that stand up and meet you face to face and say, Rabbi, I want to see. And that immediately we receive, because our faith helped us receive. It was our faith that got us healed. So thank you, Jesus. I pray blessings and strength and courage over each and every one. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.